Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
Baby, there's carolers outside. Can you hear them?
Is there?
Let's open the door.
Santa, where's me fucking bike, you cunt?
I've come on. I'm on some ice. I'm having a spike.
I'm on some ice to that song. What is that song? The blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 da, da, da. I don't know.
I'm on some ice, 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 I'm on some ice.
Hey, the cig smoking because I am high. I love to smoke, crack open a tinny.
Mate, it's a Christmas episode, so I'm cracking open a fucking tin of Coke.
Cracking open a tin of Coke. All right, listen, question. Tell me how you feel about me. Favorite Christmas movie, go.
Oh, Ernest Saves Christmas.
You've said that and you said you're going to watch it with me and you have left me every night and gone into the other room to watch cricket.
Well, that's because cricket's
on. He's texted me going, we're going to watch Ernest Saves Christmas. We're going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet because he's watching the cricket. So, goodbye, time with my wife. Hello, cricket.
Goodbye, non-cricket watching.
You say goodbye and I say you're a cunt.
I don't understand this obsession with wanting to spend time with me. I mean, just because we're married doesn't mean
don't
we
worry,
have to hang
that
out.
That is very, very much going out the window.
Yeah.
So you're good, buddy.
Yeah,
go in the other room. I don't give a fuck. Seriously, that's your best.
You do, though.
That's your favorite?
What?
Ernest? You're lying. You're trying to be funny. I want truth.
Oh, I love
truth. Beauty.
All right, relax. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay.
That's great. Okay. I mean, I've got a few. I love Ernest Saves Christmas. All the films I used to watch with my sister when we were little. Ernest Saves Christmas, mm-hmm. Muppet's Christmas Carol. They're probably the two main ones that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go in for like Die Hard or Batman Returns or...
Die Hard is a pretty great Christmas movie though.
It's not. It's just set at Christmas. They barely mention it. As I've said on this podcast before, Lethal Weapon is actually much more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard is.
That's right, it is. And Lethal Weapon is very good as well.
You heard it here first, guys. Lethal Weapon, very good. This is... Should we just watch it real quick? I suppose I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson, and I didn't go to 103 years of intro school to fuck it up. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Italian Garden. She is Callie. Big whoop. Want to find about a festuca.
I mean,
here she is.
You don't want to fuck it up, but sometimes we're doing our best.
Hey, do you want to be careful with your little pinches there on the microphone?
What's my favorite?
What's Christmas your favorite
movie?
Christmas
Damien,
movie,
thanks
Kelly?
Thanks for asking.
When you stop moving the microphone around.
Thanks for asking. If you had asked me this question 5-10 years ago, I would have said Love Actually.
Oh, dear.
Because home for as long as I was, I actually, something about the nobody knows, just a nobody knows at the airport at the end really gets me. Also, one of the greatest scenes ever is Emma Thompson in one shot. When she is in the living room and then the camera shows her leave the living room, go into the bedroom and just fucking bawl silently for like 10 seconds and then just kind of wipe away her tears, fix up the bed sheet and then go back into the room and go, all right, kids, let's go. Sensational.
Sense.
sensational stuff.
If you ask me now, though, I mean, I would have to say National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
National Lampoon's.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. What did you think I said?
No, poon. Funny.
Poon?
Lampoon.
Okay. I don't know. You're maybe a real Chernobyl. Lampoon, that's pretty good. Lampoon
dog. Chernobyl.
Anyway, Christmas Vacation's really great. What do you mean, What do you mean, you fucking elitist cunt?
Nah, it's good. I said Ernest Saves Christmas.
Dude.
I'm not being fucking elitist.
One of my favourite scenes, and I love, and any chance I can to quote it, Julie Louis-Dreyfus is in it, post-SNL, pre-Seinfeld, and she plays the snooty neighbour, Margot. Why is the carpet wet? Todd, I don't know, Margot.
Yeah.
Dude, it's fantastic. And they're
fantastic.
They used to. Oh, God. Damien's trying to be funny, everyone. It's hilarious.
Oh, well, someone's got it this podcast.
Eh? Damien's so on point with his humor. He's doing Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonations.
Just because I'm a genius.
And what I love about that movie is that they're so 80s hoity-toity is that, remember in the 80s when those silver workout suits came out?
Yes.
And everyone used to wear it because it was like, it would like help you like burn the sweat, and they even had those. So futuristic. I love it. Whatever. There you go.
Yeah. I can't think of any other Christmas stuff.
Really?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Home Alone?
Home Alone is good. Home Alone is a good Christmas movie, actually.
But it takes too long for them to get to the, you know, like, what's the Home Alone theme music where they go?
The Home Alone theme music?
Yeah. Where they're, like, in the house where they start hurting the dudes. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. Anyway,
yeah,
I don't
remember.
Yeah.
I've just worked a 10-hour shift. I can't remember anything.
This is what I'm recording at night.
Yeah, recording at night when we don't have any brain cells.
But that's pretty good.
Anyway, so this is our Christmas episode.
You know what's a good Christmas movie? It's an international film. I know I sound fucking when Damien turned into his fucking wanker movie critic. I think it's like Norwegian or Denmarkian or
Denmarkian.
Yeah. It's called something exports.
Christmas exports?
No. I'll quickly look it up.
You know what Christmas film I do love? Red One, starring Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Man. The reviews for do yourself a favor, type in Red One reviews into YouTube and just watch a few fat, screaming talking heads talking about how terrible this film is and how it's the end of The Rock's career and how it might be. I actually watched a half decent video about it being maybe the nadir, the turning point. In Hollywood cinema moving forward, but
I found it. It's called Rare Exports.
Yes,
and I can't see, but it's I can't see who made it. Like into Finland, yeah. So it's Finnish. So it's a Finnish film. Rare Exports, made in 2010. Anyway, so basically, they live in this remote Finnish town where it's like almost like Greenland, where it's like ice and polar bears and stuff like that, and they're farmers and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they just found some reindeer that were like had been killed by like a wild animal, and they're like, that's weird, maybe there's like a weird bear that just, you know, like, let's get on the ski snow things and find a bear or whatever. And then I should mention the beginning of the film. I haven't talked to you about this film. I think you would like it. Anyway, the very beginning, pre-credits of the film is like, you know, businessmen, you know, in this office, and then it kind of pans out and it's actually the businessmen are in this, like, you know, when you get like portables on a work site. So they're in that and they've got all papers and there's all these guys drilling and on a mountain, and the guy comes in and he's like, so we've hit a snag in the drilling for oil in this mountain. And they're like, what is it? And they're like, I don't know. It's like, it was like really hard rock, but it's like impossible to get through it. But we managed to get through a small bit of it and sawdust came out. Like sawdust, like that had been shaved. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Which is a homage to the elves making toys out of wood.
Yeah.
Right? Sawdust. And they're like, what the hell? So they're like drilling on the South Pole. They're like, and then the guy's like, dun, 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 keep digging. Right? And then later, anyway. So basically, they find this creature that looks like Santa Claus, but he's.
Is it Krampus?
Well, similar. So this Santa Claus creature is like naked with a red hat and a beard. And then they're like, who is this? And they find him. And then they kind of go over to him and go, oh, what's this? And he opens his mouth and it's like it, jagged teeth. Like he's like, savage. And they're like, ah. So they capture him, put him in a cave. So he's the thing that's been killing the reindeer.
Right.
And they're like, what the hell is this? And then they end up finding like a few others of these things. And they're the elves. And basically what happened is this company drilling for oil at the South Pole has released these elves who are like really evil. And then the actual Santa Claus is this massive demon devil creature with horns and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then it's a fight for like, you know, against him. Fucking funny though. Like when you first see the Santa Claus and they're like, oh, what's this? Oh, and then they're like, ah, it's crazy. It's pretty funny, man. Like savage, like an old man, you know. Should watch it. We should watch it real quick. Should we watch it real quick? It's good. Yeah, it's maybe a good film.
I was just thinking of Scrooged we did last year, and I still dig that.
I didn't mind it.
Anything with Bill Murray in it is good, and it's essentially a Christmas Carol just set in the 80s and full of yuppies.
Have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, it's
podcast over.
Well, it's a classic film. I mean, like that film's been spoken about 100,000,000 times. You know, like, I don't know. I just feel like people don't get what a Christmas film is about, right? I feel like, especially in the last 10-15 years, all this talk about like, you know, I saw it again this year where it's the same shit. On Just Watch, where it's like Christmas films, and like the first four were like Silent Night, Batman Returns, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon.
Well, this list I'm looking at now is like Die Hard's number two.
But they're not Christmas. Like, yes, I understand they said it Christmas, but a Christmas movie is like Muppet's Christmas Carol. You know what I mean? Or even Ernest Saves Christmas. Like
Miracle
a film,
on 34th Street.
Yes, the film that the whole family can watch that Christmas. Like sort of purports the meaning of Christmas,
which is a wonderful life.
Being with your friends and family and looking after your fellow man.
Yes, well, I guess it does.
Yeah.
Mr. Bay, well, you're not so mean after all. That's my James Stewart.
It's pretty good. That's good. That's pretty good.
Well, this one on Time Out was like number one was It's a Wonderful Life. Number two was Die Hard
because I think wonderful they're trying to be cool.
Elf is number three, which I fucking rate.
Yeah, Elf is good.
I rate, except
because
for
Elf has still got that like family moralistic thing to it that Christmas movie should have.
He's Ooh, great in it. Will Ferrell
yeah,
is
Will
like
Ferrell I remember is good.
I remember taking my cousins. My cousin at the time was like, this is Mason, who's now, you know, got a rap sheet. He's like five or whatever. And I remember he was like five or six and he loved it. But also we loved it because there's this moment in it where he goes, you know, like Santa's coming to the department store, you know, doing photos of Santa. He's like, oh my God, Santa! Santa! He's like, I know him. I know him. Santa, it's me. It's fucking adorable. The only gripe with the movie Elf is that fucking always Hollywood, you stupid idiots, that sort of weird love interest with the Zoe Deschanel chick.
Yeah.
So that like that movie I reckon was written and then the whole like the execs were like, well, we need to have a female lead. You know? Need to have a female.
But you could have that. You just introduce a character that he becomes friends with.
Yeah, and it kind of, it doesn't, like, this guy's got, like, the brain of a six-year-old.
Yes.
Do not put him in a relationship where
he makes friends with, like, a, you know, straight man, good-looking type character who's constantly like, whoa, you're crazy, Will Ferrell elf.
It actually says here, indie fave Zooey Deschanel as the department store helper giving Ferrell understandable tingles. That he is, has the brain power of a fucking eight-year-old.
Yeah, and he, using the word tingles makes him sound even more childlike. Yeah. It's weird and gross.
It's that stuff there. I just don't understand, like, all of a sudden he's going to learn, like...
Zooey Deschanel gives me the tingles.
Yeah, like what? Now all of a sudden he knows how to jerk off because he's like... met a woman, but he's like this elf that eats maple syrup for breakfast. Like, what the fuck are we even... Like, that kind of stuff really
pisses me
off.
What are we doing here, people? Yeah, just introduce the... Just introduce, like, a Matthew Broderick in Cable Guy type character, you know?
Yeah, it's just... There's something about that. And but also, like, the story of it is just so simple. And also, James Caan. So good. And then... Christmas Story. Do you ever watch Christmas Story?
Yes.
You're in America that they play the Christmas Story all day and they have been doing it. There's one particular channel that plays the Christmas Story all day, and then one Christmas I was there, I remember being so fucking hungover and it was really hard to find somewhere to eat because everything was closed, and I was so fucking hungover, and then I remember just sitting on the couch watching that movie over and over.
Where'd you go to? Where'd you get food from?
I eventually was able to find a Subway. I got a meal.
It's always meatball. Subway with you. Yeah. It's hilarious.
So I was so hungover. It was just, that was one of probably my worst Christmases. And then Gremlins. I don't even remember Gremlins being like that.
Yeah, Gremlins is shot at Christmas. It's another one of those things where it's like it's set at Christmas time.
You know what I've seen a lot of?
Christmas film.
You know what I've seen a lot of? Bad Santa.
Bad Santa's good.
I've never really watched this film. I don't really know Billy Bob Thornton. Every time I think of him and Angelina Jolie, you know? It's hard.
I think of him having a fit on the BBC. He started a band called the Boxmasters. And... So, of course, he's got like a record deal. He's on tour with Willie Nelson and stuff. And the journalist had been instructed by Billy, or the producer had been instructed by Billy Bob Thornton, do not bring up his acting career. And just in the intro, the journalist is like giving some context. It's like, you may know him from Hollywood movies, but he's moved into music, and then gives like his whole history as a musician. Oh, he's so cantankerous that the interview goes for like 16 minutes. But some of the highlights are he says things like, would you ask Tom Petty there?
What?
Would you ask Tom Petty there?
But you're a movie star first, you fucking idiot.
Because the guy says something along the lines of like, you seem to have a real enthusiasm for music. And he's like, would you ask Tom Petty there?
Oh, God. All right. How about this? How about no career? All right, Billy Bob, if you're so fucking great, why don't you play for $10 a pop at some fucking empty fucking bar? If it's all about the fucking craft, go do it. Yeah. Why are you doing a TV fucking ad? Because you want to sell records. So suck my dick, go the fuck away.
Yeah, you want to sell records.
Records. All these people, like whenever I hear people whinging about like stuff, like, I'm like, all right, well, go do a play. You know when you get like actors, like Hollywood actors that get paid $20 million and like, it's really hard.
It's actually really hard.
It's not really hard. Go do, that's what she said, go do a fucking play eight times a week.
Yeah, do what
go
David do Tennant's doing right now.
Yeah.
He's doing this like small play in London. David Tennant, Doctor Who.
Yeah, and also he's the last person who would complain about anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I saw him on Instagram yesterday. I love him. Taking a bow from doing a play, and it didn't look like a huge play either.
Who was your favourite Doctor Who?
Oh, baby, this is tough. Look, anyone who's a Doctor Who fan, I'm going to say it, and people are going to be like, I do not respect you anymore. Mine is Sylvester McCoy, who probably killed the franchise. He was the last Doctor before it got killed off, and then it came back as Christopher Eccleston. Only because I was like 12 years old when that was on TV. So I loved him. He had like a little umbrella with a question mark on it and stuff. He's Scottish, you know, I loved him. I would say out of the new Doctors, they've all been pretty good. I would say they've hired a higher caliber of actor in the new series than, not that the old the Doctors in the old series were bad. They're all sort of theatre actors and stuff. But like Christopher Eccleston was in movies before he was Doctor Who.
Great. You know what and I mean? Also like the
Fucking Peter Capaldi is like was a big TV star.
Capaldi,
like,
that's the one that he was in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
So like. Jodie Whittaker?
I really like Jodie Whittaker.
Like, was a big star beforehand as well. Like, I think every single person they've cast so far has been a great Doctor, but probably Tennant. He's just,
yeah, I love him.
He's just naturally charismatic. Matt Smith was good too, but yeah, Tennant's just like, he's kind of got the old Doctor Who-ness of being super charismatic and super nice and funny, but can also be like a bit of a prick. Sometimes there's always that running through Doctor Who that like he at times knows so much about the universe that he has to make decisions that seem quite
rough
to us, but in the long run are the best thing for the universe.
What's his name? Matt Stewart?
No. I just said his name. Fucking Matt Smith.
Matt Smith. Every time I see him, I just think of Philip, King Philip. Because he played King Philip in the first season of The Crown. And that's and even now it's like even Olivia Colman, who's fantastic.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. hello. I'm just cutting up some onion, some mushrooms. I just think it's quite nice, quite relaxing to cut up some. Hello. Just cutting up some mushrooms. Was that a good Olivia
Colman? Yeah, it's good. I'm just letting you do it.
But I'm just looking at Bad. That's the Coen brothers.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Coen brothers.
Did I say that wrong?
Like the
Coen. Coen brothers. Yeah.
You sure?
Oh, am I wrong? Hang on. Oh, the Coen brothers are credited as executive producers.
Ah, right. Wow, I didn't know they had anything to do with it. Would it explain why it's a fun film? Speaking of fun films, have both watched some stuff in the last couple
Of you watched Gladiator.
And no, we already talked about that. We already talked about Gladiator.
Do we? I haven't talked about Wicked.
I saw Kneecap. You saw Wicked.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So why don't you talk about Wicked because
really that's slow
the bigger movie.
It's really slow in the first hour, but then the last 45, it goes for like nearly 3 hours though, which is like.
3 hours? Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. But yeah, it's really, it's good and stuff.
I so desperately want to go on an editing rant. I'm not going to, but just no, fucking could edit your shit.
Yeah, they could definitely edit it. But the last, like 40 minutes or so, I really get into it. And I didn't think I would, but I had tears in the end because I felt like there was a real powerful kind of build up and moment of like, you know, kind of sticking to your guns. And being true to yourself and sticking up for little people. And I feel like in society at the moment it's a bit fucked, just a lot of stuff going on, where it is important that we speak up and help. We can only ever walk as fast as our slowest. And we really, I think as a society, we have forgotten how to do that. Like everyone's very like, well, fucking, why should I? Everyone's got a chip on their shoulder. And that's the government who creates the division between classes systems in this, you know, in our world. And I feel like it's really important that we stick to our guns and speak up and identify bad behavior and bad things when they happen. And this film kind of illustrates that happening and how it's polarizing to talk about musical theater sometimes because people aren't into it. But it's really good. It's really good and I am excited to see the next part. Because the whole thing about the Green Witch, you know, she's wicked but she actually wasn't born wicked. you know, she became wicked because of a lot of things, and you understand it. And I don't know if it's like saying it's okay to turn bad because the world's fucked, or if it's saying basically I understand why the CEO was shot from United Healthcare, whatever it was. I understand it. Like, I feel like this – and this – yeah, this film's got nothing to do with it, but I understand it because those higher echelon people create everything at our disadvantage, and this green witch is someone who is trying to help and maybe can't harness where her emotions are to help. Anyway, but Kneecap you really liked.
Oh, no, that's it. That's all you're going to say about Wicked?
Oh, yeah, I just feel like I don't want to spoil it, and I feel like there's so much press about it that I don't want to ruin it for people when they watch it and then they go, oh, God, everyone said how good it was. I didn't think it was that good. You know when that happens? When everyone's like, oh, my God, you got to see this film, and you see it and you go, I don't know what the thing was. But if something surprises you, I just think it's – I'm curious to see but there's – yeah, I wouldn't mind talking to some dudes. Like if you see it, but because you're not musical – theatre, I don't know. I'm curious to see how you feel about it.
It will probably never happen.
Well, once it comes out, I think you should. I would really love for you to watch it because the socialist part of this Green Witch of Elphaba. She's a socialist.
Yeah.
And I want to know, because I actually think that, you know, when you watch it, I think you might shed a tear about, you know, how the world is and how it's important that we have. You know, where we stick up for people. You got to stick up. You have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, but that yeah. I don't want to ruin it for people.
How many grumps?
I reckon I would give it four grumps.
Four grumps.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
I know, but well, only because I cried. The last 5 minutes, I really was like, and then I went with Nicolette Minster, who has already seen it, who also was having a tear.
Oh,
you know, well, like, so Jesus, I'm like, Christ, oh, yeah.
Minster under the bus.
No, because it's so it's beautiful and stuff, but
that's going to ruin her tough girl image.
I know. But also the film, there's minimal CGI. They built the whole set. So because the first hour is so slow because of the exposition is so slow and they've got so many jokes in there, I'm like, yeah, it's good that there's jokes, well, but you could cut it out.
To me, it sounds like there's 2 hours and 15 minutes of build up, and then the film gets going in the last 45 minutes.
But even then, it's like, but there's still ebbs and waves of like, they've really got to set it up because it's not a simple storyline of a love interest movie. It is a story, it's between two best friends or how they become friends, and because it starts in the future and stuff like that. So a part of me even felt like going 3.5 because I felt the first hour and a half was so slow. But then I realized it kind of had to be there. But it's definitely a four grumps because they built the set. There's a whole scene where they're running through tulips. They fucking planted the fucking flowers. They planted it. They built the whole university. They built the train, the big green train that goes to Oz. They built it. The only thing that's really CGI'd is, I guess, when people are flying. But even then, she's still, you know, on stuff, on, you know. But
Wires.
There's animals talking it, and that's a bit of CGI.
That's real?
No.
They found animals that talk?
No, but do you understand? Like, when you're like, you can hear it in the way that they, and there's like a particular song that,
well, actors act better against real things.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
When they're in real environments.
And there's even a part where there's the, what's his name, Jonathan? The guy that's in Bridgerton, and he's so fucking gorgeous and sexy, and he plays Fierro in this.
Excuse me, I'm right here.
I know, right? He's gay, it's fine. But he's a love interest in it, and he's gorgeous. And he's the one that
gorgeous.
Sings gorgeous. And he sings the song Dancing Through Life, Living in Circles. And you've probably seen it, whatever. Anyway, there's this amazing scene where it's like they're at this library, and the library, they have like round shelves where people can crawl along the shelves like a hamster wheel to grab books and stuff. And there's all these people dancing. I'm like, this is so hard. Like the choreograph this scene of all these round little things, like – it's pretty amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just the way they did everything feels so fucking real. And also that chick in it that Olivia, the one who plays Elphaba, the green chick, she's got a lot of hype around her because, you know, she, and there's her and Ariana Grande seem like kind of like wankers sometimes in their like interviews because they're so earnest.
Hmm.
And I'm like, all right, she's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like this is a hard role play. There is, she has a very slight smirk that she does where it's like, you get the joke or something that I'm like, this is incredibly hard to play. This role, it's not just the singing. This role is incredibly hard to be fucking 100% vulnerable but also be, you know, she is a tough lady. She's really good, man. Fucking she's great. Anyway, yeah, four grumps.
Four grumps for Wicked. All right, you
go kneecap and then I got to go cook dinner.
Kneecap is an Irish film about an Irish band from Ireland, and the film is also about Ireland. I thought, so I went and saw this with Nicola Minster's husband, Nicola.
That's funny.
And our old friend Dara, who seems to get a mention every week.
Beautiful Dara.
And we all had a great time. I think we all took different things from the film. Nick had already seen it once before. Dara seemed to really enjoy it. Nick
loves seeing things twice.
I think you get a different reading when you watch it twice.
I could not think of anything worse than seeing something twice.
this film is a, I think, genuinely brilliantly made film. But from the first second of the film, it is fucking fun. I thought it was a documentary. I thought it was going to be like on the road, like the rise of this nationalistic.
It's Jimmy. It's okay. Keep going. Nah, it's all right. So it was a rise of what?
The rise of.
Boy, he just got excited. He's a dog. That's our son. My son. I'm so proud of you for protecting us. Now he's doing a stretch, doing a weird stretch. Okay.
You always got to upstage me, Jim. Yeah, I just thought it would be a documentary, just a regular like music documentary about a band, and it would be like, you know, these guys are like nationalistic Irish guys, and they've fought for, you know, the Irish language and blah blah. It is not that. It is essentially a Hard Day's Night. It's like the band are in the film. So they play themselves.
Yeah, I thought it was a documentary. So that's no, great.
It absolutely great. Is
that's,
not.
Yeah, that's really good.
It is a narrative film about them where they play themselves, and all three of them are fantastic. Like, they're all really good. It only dawned on me like two-thirds of the way through the film where I'm like, oh, fuck, they're playing themselves. Michael Fassbender's in this film.
I love him.
There He's are a so lot good. Of people that I don't have my notes or phone in front of me. I'm sorry, guys. But, like, there's a lot of people that you'll notice from a bunch of different stuff. This guy who directed this film was a journalist and made a documentary about the Murdoch Press like 7 or 8 years ago, and like went to town on them and actually led to a royal commission into the Murdoch Press that like Hugh Grant and all those guys got involved in that actually took down News of the World. He's a really interesting guy. He's made like 4 or 5 documentaries. This is his first narrative film. The direction is really interesting and brilliant. Half of it's in Irish, the other half is in English. It swaps between the two all the time. You don't even notice. It's not a big deal.
Rich Pepper.
Yeah, has done superb job of writing and directing this film. If you don't come out of the cinema or come off watching this film and want to be a kneecap fan, I don't know.
Can you, one rogue reporter... is the documentary.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in watching that. Can you grab that for me, please?
Yes.
It looks really good.
Anyway, so I won't really bore you with the details of it because I think it's more enjoyable if you don't really know much about their story because it's a really interesting story. Obviously, some liberties have been taken with the story. It's not all 100% true, but it does really kind of shine a light on the fact that, like, you know, even though the troubles are over, there is still... a huge knock-on effect about that, you know, based on the fact that England is still, in a way, occupying Northern Ireland. And the problems that that causes between communities and families and stuff. But ultimately, it is fucking funny. It doesn't stop. It's like, I don't know how long it goes for, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. It feels like 15 minutes. They're actually a really good fucking band.
105 minutes, perfect time.
They're actually a really good band, so the music is fucking great. But yeah, just the, like, I walked away from this film wanting to make more art, like being like having, like sticking to my convictions, like having hope that you are good at something, that like you're not that you're not dreaming. You know what I mean? That like, you know, when you get, when you have that feeling, especially as an artist, like you have this feeling inside of you of like, I have something and I want to share it with people. And then the minute you tell people when you're a little kid that you want to do that, it gets beaten out of you by every single person who comes near you. And this is a film that really like shines a light of like, no, come this way. You're right. You should follow that. And it doesn't, it's not a matter of like success and fame or anything like that. It's about following your path, following your heart, being you, doing your thing. Artistically, I actually took a huge amount of inspiration out of it about things that I want to do in the coming year and stuff. And I think maybe that might have been why Collar was so desperate for me to see the movie. But yeah, it was just great. It was a super fun night with the boys. I love this film. I can't talk highly enough about it. I think it's my favorite film of the year. Might be my favorite film of the last couple of years.
Wow, there you go.
5 grumps.
Really? Well, I'm excited. I think I'd enjoy this film. I can't wait to see it. And I also find that anything Michael Fassbender is in, even if it's a weird film.
He's fucking great in it as well, man.
Is that that movie Shame? Is that Shame? Yeah, Shame. Like,
oh, Shame with, yeah, about he fucks with his Kerry, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's something, oh man. Even that film, which I felt he was makes, quite uncomfortable.
He makes
really,
brave,
really
oh, not brave.
He's really interesting, man, to watch.
He makes good and interesting choices as an actor.
He doesn't fuck his sister in that film.
Isn't that what Shame I'm pretty
no,
sure?
No, he's a sex addict. And he's a sex addict, but like, she's a mess. Like, she's always trying to kill herself. I mean, let me read. But I didn't get that they fucked at all. Like, he always... They're all... Yeah, anyway, we have to go into it.
It's the sign of a good actor, though.
He's great.
Is that they make interesting choices. He had, like, kind of stepped away from acting a little bit and then has come back out of retirement to do this film and is great in it. But the standout really are the three boys in the band. Like, they've never done any acting at all and they are holding their own in scenes with Michael Fassbender. You know, like, it's truly amazing. Like, it's truly amazing. Like, that's why I keep quoting Hard Day's Night, because when you watch Hard Day's Night, the Beatles actually, besides Paul, act quite well in it. John and George and Ringo are really natural and are actually pretty good actors. And Paul's really stiff in it. But anyway.
Oh, fucking Paul.
Well, he is. You know, I mean, he's not awful, but he's just a bit. You can tell that he can tell there's a camera there. But yeah, these kneecap boys, they're just like.
Well, I can't wait
fucking
to watch
great. It. Anyway, I'm just going around in circles now. Watch this film. It's still in cinemas in Australia. So if you're in Australia, go to a Palace Cinema or your local indie cinema. It'll be on there. Go and watch it in a cinema before it goes, because it's shot really well and beautifully, and you should see it on a big screen before it comes to streaming.
Well, great job. I'm going to go cook dinner. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Blah, Merry blah, 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 Christmas.
Blah, 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 blah.
All right. And thanks. So this is Christmas. And Kelly's got a potty.
I've got it.
So you know what we say.
All right, I love
it's
you all,
time to end wait. The party. See you guys.